Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word is a lamp unto our feet that guides us throughout this time, our lives. Thank you, God, that we abide by your word. We abide by your principles. Whatever we receive, God, we're not only just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word. That we live it and we do it and we abide by it and we stand on those principles, Father. Lord, we thank you. I pray that you breathe upon your word upon your people today. Ignite it into our spirit, God, that it'll transform us, never to be the same ever again. Always renewed transformation every day by the power of your word. Holy Spirit, you speak to your people this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We got some visitors this morning. Please raise your hands. We want to welcome you. Thank you very much. I know there's some friends here and there's some new faces here. If you're visiting us, welcome. Welcome to our little Cairns Living Light Church. I always say we're a bit crazy for God at times. We don't dance inside, we dance outside. There's no such thing as dancing inside. When you feel it, you got to move. We could just worship and praise and just go home, just like that. I came here feeling really down and feeling a bit sick and, you know, just not feeling well for the last couple of days. Walked in there and I went, hallelujah. I'm ready. I'm ready for life. I'm ready for anything. Hallelujah. And you should feel like that too. Hallelujah. The presence of God is amazing. It transforms you. You can receive healing right in the middle of the presence of God. All right. Well, let's get straight into the word. My topic today is living your future. It's very important for each and every one of you here today to understand that we must never live in our past. Hallelujah. I'm just introducing my message, all right? I like to introduce my message to take you to make you understand that, to guide you along to where I'm taking this message to. I believe that nobody in this room have a desire more than you to become more than you are dreaming of. Everyone has a dream. Hallelujah. Desiring to become the best and to maximize all that you can be. Everybody has a dream about the future or what they want in the future. Or how they want the future to be like. How do we live our future? That's the question. How do we live our future? When we think of the future, most of us believe that our future is actually 2 years from now, or 10 years from now, or tomorrow. Your future is 5 minutes from now, my friends. Your future happens as it goes. You don't wait for your future to happen. That's why salvation is today's. Salvation is not tomorrow's. It's today's. Because you don't own tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't belong to you. Today you own it because you're living in it. You're breathing in it. You're talking in it. You're eating in it. You're walking in it. That's yours today. But tomorrow, you know that saying, tomorrow never comes, may never come. And that's very true. But our future never starts tomorrow. Our future starts 5 minutes from now. As you walk out the door, your future starts. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, it's the next hour. My friends, your future is the next hour, the next 5 minutes of your life. And most people do not know how to live the future. And that's our problem. Because the greatest threat to your future is actually your past. Your past is your greatest threat. It's the only thing that's going to stop you from achieving your future. And the devil knows that. See, the enemy knows about life. And so he doesn't have to struggle to try and do anything to us or try and, oh, I've been attacked by the devil. He just uses simple things like your past. And he reminds you of your past all the time. I know you've heard this message before, but this is really good. And most people do not know how to live their future. There are 7.7 billion people, and I checked it out, people on this planet, and 90% of them do not know how to live their future. Are you one of those 7.7 billion people? That's the question we must ask ourselves this morning. They are not being successful because they are living and perishing in ignorance. And I talked about it a lot. I said, my people perish not because of the devil. My people perish because of what? Lack of vision and ignorance. Ignorance is our greatest enemy. Not the devil, my friends. Not the devil. The devil has been taken care of before the foundation of this earth. Jesus did everything before he even thought about you. Your parents even thought about you. Jesus already thought about you, made arrangements for you. Hallelujah. Instead of living according to a vision, they are living according to what I call a revision. You know what a revision is? You're going back and living what you've already lived. Revision is going back and looking at something you've already done. Revision is going back and living the past again. When you revise a revision, you are basically living something that you've already lived. Are you with me, church? In school, they get you to go and study for an exam, and they tell you to go and revise your work. So you go back and you read books and you study and you revise everything so you can have some memories when you go into a test and do it. And most people are actually living their past. They are so preoccupied by their revision that they forget to live their future. That's our problems, my friends. The devil doesn't attack you in any big way. Listen to me this morning. Devil doesn't use big weapons to attack you. He uses simple things that we live our lives by. And if you're living it by ignorance, then you are the greatest target for the enemy. Now, let's go back to our constitution and see what our king says about this living in the future. In section Proverbs, subsection 29, article 18, for you religious people, it's actually Proverbs 29, 18. Our constitution says, hallelujah, this is our constitution, that where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, that showed me something. If you're a person that lives your life by the principles and the word of God, I am serious. You don't need a prophet to tell you how to live your life. Amen. Hallelujah. It says here, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he who what? Keeps the law, keeps the principles. He who walks and abides by the word of God, happy is he. Listen to me. Don't go looking for people to tell you how to live your life. God has already given you instructions and a manual to live your life. It's right here. If you don't have, if you have an iPhone, throw it away. Get a Bible. A real Bible, please. Yeah. Hallelujah. None of this high-tech stuff. Go back to the old basic, good old-fashioned Bible. Hallelujah. Print it out that you can read it. In other translations, it says, where there is no revelation or prophecy, the people perish. But he had kept the law, who what? He who walks in the principles, the statutes, and the commandment of God, happy is he. It's really simple. We make life hard for ourselves by walking away from his word. Life becomes difficult and hard when you walk away from the principles of God. But when you abide by his word and walk by his word and walk by his statutes, everything is so simple. God says, great, now I can take care of your life because you're a person that walk according to my word. Hallelujah. You don't need no prophet to tell you how to live your life. If you abide by the word of God keeps you. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. His word keeps everything together. His word keeps everything that you and I see together, including your life, my friends. Most people are living a revision of their lives. Some are so busy remembering, they cannot forget their past. Now you think about that with your life for a minute. There is a dream in your heart. Everybody sitting here has a dream. They have a plan. There's a vision. Somebody's got something in his mind or in his heart to do something. Most people are so trapped by what they did. And it's very important for us to be released. This morning, I want you to be released from that. You can be a Christian for 25 years, 30 years, I don't care. But if you live in your past, you will never achieve your future. You will never achieve really what God has actually purposed for you. Most people are afraid of the past failures, and they never attempt the future possibilities. Hallelujah. It seems people are so busy keeping in touch with their past that they never see the future. Listen to me today. Forget your past. God never remembered your past. You know, he's got a sea of forgetfulness. He's not Forgetful Jones like the Muppet Show or the Sesame Street guy that's called Forgetful Jones. He doesn't have Alzheimer's or nothing. He knows that he chose to forget our past. And that's a gift that he's already given you. The reason for that is because most of us live in an unknown for the known. We live in an unknown for the known. We try to grip our way through life, but God has already given us arrangements to live our lives by. I keep going back to the principles. We live our lives based on the known. That is a dangerous thing because you know you should not limit yourself from that. Most people in this room, it could be you. Tap somebody and say, hey, it could be you. That woke him up. You are trapped with what you've already done, and it makes you question what you could do. Is it true? Is it just me? Before I came to know Christ, I was trapped by everything that I've done. All my past. My past was my greatest enemy to my future. It was blocking me from doing things that God has already purposed in my life. And the only way that I could do it was come into the presence of God, come into the redeeming power of God, the changing power of the Holy Spirit to transform my life and give me that vision again. Hallelujah. The greatest enemy of your progress is your past, my friends. One of the greatest things that a human can do is what? Forget. F-O-R-G-E-T. Forget. Forget. Tend to your friends and tap on the soul and say, hey, forget it. Forget it. It's a powerful word. In Pidgin, mi blasetok. Lusim romblomi. Lusim romblol. It means we've released your sin against us. Whatever wrong that you've done to us, we've released that. Not back to you, we've released it from ourselves. Lusim romblomi. Forget it. God chose to forget our past. God gave you a capacity to forget. God gave you the ability to literally turn things off from your past. He did that. He gave it to you. It's in you. You can choose to forget other people's wrong against you. Yes, you can. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, love your neighbors as you love yourself. Jesus speaks really straight. Do right. Love those who do wrong against you. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he knows you can do it. He knows you can do it. He's given you the Holy Spirit and the power to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. To choose from right or wrong. Now, it is impossible not to have memory, but it is possible not to allow your memory to influence you. All of us have memories. We've got memories of something. But I want to say to you this morning, don't let your memory influence you. Your memory is your memory. It's gone. You can never go back and get that part of your life ever again. You have all the power to change your future. You can make corrections in your life based on what's been happening in your past, but you move on. Move on. This is a simple message this morning. It's not some eye-powered revelation. It's straightforward principles of God. Hallelujah. So you don't allow your memory to immobilize your life. People stop moving and doing things because their memories have kept them in prison. Hallelujah. You can advance to your future if you're willing to forget. Everybody say forget. Forget. If you're willing to forget, you will advance. You will go forward with your life. You will achieve everything that God has purposed for your life if you're a person that forgets. Forget your past. I'm convinced that to live effectively, your future must become more important than your past. You must move past your past to enter into your future. Move past your past and move into your future. Hallelujah. God wants that for you this morning, my friends. This is what God wants for you this morning. One of the greatest gifts that God has, as one of the greatest miracles of God, and one of the greatest attributes of God that he told us about is God forgets. I just said that before. He's thrown all our past and all our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. There is a big sea full of things that he never ever thought about or ever go back to. And he says, if I've forgotten that, then how dare you still carrying it around with you? I've paid the price on the cross. I've done all that for you. Now forget it and move forward and achieve your future. All the things that I've prepared for you, God wants you to be successful in life. Whether you, it doesn't matter what part of life you're living, marriage, school, work, life, God wants you to be successful in there. Amen. He wants it for you. God never once made you to fail. You were never created to fail in life, my friends. Amen. He did not just forget. He chose to forget. I choose to forget. Hallelujah. It takes your sin, your past life, your past behavior. It includes that which was true Adam. All of us were born into sin because of one man, Adam. All that was taken care of on the cross. God had a plan and a purpose for you, but because sin entered the world, your mission and the things that He has planned for you has been put on hold until He took care of the sin business. After He done that, He says, now, you can go and achieve everything that you've actually been born to do. Hallelujah. Our past began with Adam, and when God forgave Adam, your past was eradicated and canceled. You are sitting here with a canceled debt. There is no debt ever in your life. And God is not debtor to nobody. Hallelujah. Jesus took care of the sin problem before man sinned. And that is found in the book of Revelation. That was amazing. Revelation chapter 13 verse 8. It says, all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. And then it says, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Jesus took care of the devil. Jesus took care of sin even before sin came into this world. He saw it and He did it. All you need to do is move yourself into a place where you can receive forgiveness. Receive salvation. It's not hard. It's choice. Life is about choice. God made arrangements to solve your problem before you had any. God made arrangements to deal with your past because He loved your future too much. Amen. Your future to God is so important to Him that He actually had to do that to make arrangements for us to leave our future. We as kingdom people must live in the future. Don't live in the past. Your past is going to drag you down and destroy your life. Hallelujah. You know why you're destroyed? It's not because of anything. It's because you're living in the past. God wants you to move forward and move on. Hallelujah. Get over it, everybody say. Get over it and move on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. His dreams for you is so important. He made arrangements for your past so that your future can be possible. So when you come to Christ, He forgives you. We are cashing in on something He's already done for us. Hallelujah. He forgave you while you were yet a sinner. Jesus died for you while you were yet a sinner. So you are not an half-hazard second thought of God. God, you're not a second-hand news to God. He already purposed your life. Oh, I love that word in Jeremiah 1:5. Before you were in your mother's womb. I love that. I knew you. I created your spirit. I had you. I gave you all the plans, every thought about you. I know about you. Man doesn't know about you, but I do. Your parents don't know about you. I do. Your mother and father don't know about you. I do. Because I created your spirit. Even before you were in your mother's womb. Hallelujah. I love that scripture. You know, that made me, that gave me so much confidence in myself that I just love myself. If nobody hates, if people don't like me, hey, I don't care. I love myself. I don't walk around and people don't like me, you know. Hey, who cares? God loves me. He told me in His word. Kiss yourself this morning. Come on. I love myself. Why? Because Jesus said so. Love your neighbors like you what? Love yourself. Hallelujah. If you love yourself, then you will respect your neighbors and love them as well. How can you love yourself and not go and love your neighbor? Oh, I love Jesus. I wish He was here. I would go to His church. Jesus' church would be my kind of church. Hallelujah. Pastor Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. That is why everything that happens to your life, my friends, which was not God's best for you, it's only what? It's a temporary detour. If something is happening in your life and it's not God's plans for you, don't worry about it. Okay, it's only a detour. Get over it. That's it. Somebody say, get over it. Come back in the line with God. Let Him take you through your future. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor again, forget it. Forget it. Say it with some feelings. Hallelujah. Forget what? Forget whatever that's stopping you from living your future. That's really what it is. If he turns around to you and goes, forget what? Forget whatever that's stopping you from living your future. Forget it now. Now. Today. Forget it. Hallelujah. Forgetting is the most important thing to your future. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13 says, you know, I love that book because it was written by a serial killer. You know him. He was used to be called Saul. And he became Paul. The guy was a serial killer. He killed people. He went around killing people indirectly from his own authority, getting authorities from the people that are coming against the work of Jesus, and slaughtering and murdering people. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 was written by a serial killer. You know this guy, Paul. And he's written all his books. God looks at this guy, and God sees three quarters of the New Testament in this one serial killer. Hallelujah. Three quarters of the New Testament was written by this one man. Do you think Paul walked around and thought about his past? Do you think he would have written all this book in the New Testament if he was a person to think about his past? My goodness, Paul understood that. Amen. Hallelujah. God looks like, I wonder what God sees in you this morning, my friends. Thank you. What is God saying in you this morning? What is it that's blocking you from achieving your future? This serial killer wrote the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Thessalonians. He was walking around with all these books inside of him, and God says, and then Jesus apprehended him, the Bible says. Amen. The road to Damascus, where Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus looked past this man and saw all his books. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do forget. He says, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If Paul can do that, if this serial killer can forget his past and press on to the future that God has got for him, then how much more are we this morning, my friends? How much more? You have not killed nobody, but you are still going through some petty stuff that you're going through in the past that's pushing you down and pulling you down from reaching the future. Hallelujah. Paul says, I forget what is behind. Your victory starts when you forget. When you start to forget things, that's when your victory starts to happen in your life. Hallelujah. We must all remember that we are some total choices of the choices that we make today. Everything that we make in life is our own choice. If you make the wrong choice, you reap it. If you make the right choice, you still reap it. Life is about choices, my friends. If you make a bad decision, you have a bad life. If you make a good decision, you have a good life. This is simple. This is simple, grade one message this morning, my friends. Here's the principle in the Bible, in the Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. It says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witness against you, that I have set before your life and death blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. I love God. God will not come and make the decisions for you. He gave you some advice and then he says, now go and choose life. He will never come and live your life for you. He will never come and advise you to do anything. He's already given it to you. He says, now choose life. In other words, whatever happens to you, it is your choice. I like the advice that God gives in that scripture. He says, choose life so that your family can be happy. Amen. Your family can succeed. Your life will succeed. God is a good God. He knows what is good for you, and he advises you to choose it. He gives it to you, then he says, choose that one. Okay? And it's up to us to do it. And the Holy Spirit is there to convict you to make the right choices. I love God. Your memory is your decision, my friends. That was what Paul was saying. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are what? Ahead. I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, everybody say press. Press. Tap your neighbor and say press. Press. Come on. High five them and say press on. Press on. Press into God. Hallelujah. You know that word press was written in Greek in Paul's days. And it means to what? To lean towards something. Pressing means to lean towards something. That means your past is going to try and drag you back. But you're going to lean towards what God has already purposed for your life. Lean towards it. That's the Greek translation for press. Lean towards it. Hallelujah. That concept also means that your past is pulling you back. And you have to lean towards your future. Make the choice. You know, I talked about choices. And I talked about the disciplines that we've gone through for the last four Sundays. The disciplines of our lives. Make yourself available in a place where God can use you. Where God can transform you. God's not going to come and transform you where you're sitting right now. He's going to do it when you place yourself in the right place. When you move yourself into a part of discipline in your life. One of them is this. Press. Press towards that. Yes, that he has for you. Whenever you discover what you were born to do, you will also discover your enemies. I love that. You know why? Because it's true to my life. When I discovered what I was born to do, I also discovered my enemies. People that won't want you to achieve what God has purposed for you. If you don't want to be successful, don't do anything at all. But if you want to be successful, begin to move away from your past, and you will realize that people and situations that are not really your favor. When you are actually achieving something in your life, you will find your enemies. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed that people who are not going anywhere want you to be with them? Have you ever noticed that people who have not done anything in their life want you to do things with them? You know, when I say choosing your life, and I always say this to you, change your friends. If your friends are causing problems to you and your growth in God is being caused by these friends, change your friends. You have the power to go and pick another friend and become a friend with them. Change your friends. Even families will pull you down. Your own family is your greatest enemy too. Those that do not come and walk in God and understand God will drag you down. You see, all of us have a life to live. You don't live your mother or your father's life. You live your own life. Because when you stand before God, you are not standing with your family. You're standing by yourself before God. And so your life and your choices must be for yourself. Paul says you have to press towards those future. That means you don't wait for things to break through. People say, I'm waiting for a break. You're going to wait for a long time, my friends. Waiting for a break, it won't come. You've got to press on. Faith doesn't sit around and wait. Faith has action in it. When you dream about something, understand something, then move towards that thing so that God will meet you halfway. That's faith with action. Faith is not sitting around and waiting for some manna to fall from heaven. That's gone, my friends. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this. He says, or have already arrived at my goal. But he says, but I press on to take hold that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul was in a totally different world, doing his own thing, going around causing havoc in the Christian community, and he met Jesus. And the Bible says, and Jesus took hold of him. Hallelujah. And then Paul says, I am taking hold of whatever Jesus has got in store for me. Faith does not allow you to sit and wait. Faith always comes with action. Somebody say amen to that. Christ took hold of Paul so that he could take hold of something. Christ took hold of this man so that he could take hold of his future. Take all of what he's become. Hallelujah. That means Paul knew he was actually created to accomplish something. That's why Christ apprehended him, so that he could actually accomplish what he was meant to accomplish. You are sitting down here right now, apprehended by God. You've been arrested by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You had your own little life to live until the Holy Spirit arrested you. Amen. Apprehended you. took hold of you and showed you your future, direct you to the right path. Christ has taken all of my life. There's nothing that I can see now except what Christ has actually done for me. He's taken all of my life. Zealous for Christ. Zealous for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you were such shady characters. I'm glad God saved you. I'm glad I didn't meet you when you were that shady character. Amen. I'm glad I met the new you. Because I don't want to meet the old you. And you don't want to meet the old me. So I'm glad we've met all our new us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for that. God's grace is so beautiful. I was a mess. And God saved me. Hallelujah. Amen. Shady characters. Our lives were like that. No wonder God chose to forget our past. No wonder he says, I have forgotten your past. Why? Because I don't even want to remember it. And if I don't want to remember it, then why are you remembering it? Hallelujah. That's true, my friends. It may sound funny, but it is true. God chose to forget sin. Sin doesn't come in front of God. He's a righteous God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared, what? Beforehand, that we should, what? Walk in them. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom version. You want to hear the religious version? It says, and now here's the way the most religious people read this scripture. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? To go to heaven. You were created to achieve everything God has planned for you on this planet here. You didn't get saved just to go to heaven. You got saved so that you can become an influence around your community, around your family, around your friends. There is something for you. God saved Paul and didn't send him to heaven. He saved him and says, now go and write those books. And preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Most people are in religion so that they could leave earth. Most people come to church to get religion to go to heaven. Heaven is a destiny, but he doesn't want you to go there until you have accomplished everything that he has purposed for your life here on this planet earth. That's why you have all these obstacles against you, because the devil knows who you truly are. Amen. The real you God knows, and the devil knows that too. And he will stop everything that God has purposed for your plans for your life. The works that God prepared for you was waiting for you. You were born to complete an assignment, but before you can do that, something happened. It's called what? The fall of man. So everything was put on hold until Christ came and redeemed us. And after he did that, he says, now you know the path to walk. Now you know why I called you to be. God made arrangements to bring you back in sync with the works. And that's what we call salvation. When you come into salvation, understanding the kingdom of God, understanding the knowledge of God, then you go and walk life the way he's already prepared for you. Hallelujah. One thing that is true is that you never grow in good times. You never progress until you are under pressure. When you go under pressure, then you start to grow. Alan, stop laughing at me. I know you're thinking about that Angan version of it. Hallelujah. He was smiling because he thought about something. But we won't go there. Hallelujah. My friends, listen, your past is conquered and you can use it against the devil. If you're a person that is still having problems with your past, then you cannot use it against the enemy. It's impossible for you to use your past against the enemy because he will judge you on that. You have to be totally released from it. Until you can take what's happened to you and use it as an illustration, you are free from it. What did they call it? And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony is the most powerful thing against the enemy. Amen. You can use it against him when you've been released from it. When you've been released from your past, then you are able to use that against the enemy. But if you are still hanging on to the past, then the enemy is going to use it against you. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, forget it. Because God has forgotten. Stop carrying your past around with you. Guess who wrote Moses? I'm going to close now. Guess who wrote about Moses? Moses did. He wrote about himself. He says, guys, I killed a guy. He told his story. He told his testimony. But the devil never held it against him because he was set free from it. He met God, talked with God, got released from it. God says, don't worry about that. I have a plan and a purpose for you. Now, come on, let's go and do some work. Hallelujah. Be like that. Don't be a person that lives on one season. Live in every season. One season person will not achieve anything in the kingdom of God. All season person, regardless of what season it is. Hallelujah. He doesn't have a problem with that because he met God and now he says, I'm the most humblest man ever. But he actually said that about himself. Who wrote about Paul murdering the people? Paul did. That was his testimony in the book of Acts. Every time Paul went into a town to preach, the first thing he does, he says this. If you read it carefully. Before he could say anything about God or preach the gospel, he would say this. Hear me, brethren. I am he. You don't know me. He tells his testimony to the people. He says, I'm the guy that used to go around murdering people. I'm the guy that you people are always scared of. But hear me. But then he says, but praise be to God. Hallelujah. Everybody say, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Every time Paul goes to preach the gospel, first thing he'll do is share his testimony because that's so powerful. He says, brethren, I'm the guy. I'm the serial killer. I'm the murderer. I'm the guy that's causing all this havoc in your community. But then he says, but praise be to God. Hallelujah. I am totally transformed. Thanks be to God. I love that. Yes, I was a drug addict. Yes, I was a prostitute. Yes, I was one of those adulterers and fornicators and all that. Yes, I was one of them. But praise be to God. I was an alcoholic. But praise be to God. I'm totally transformed. Hallelujah. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. Hallelujah. When you're free from your past, my friend, you can use it against the enemy. People who deny their past are not free from it. If you're walking around denying your past, you are not free from it. Get over your past. Let God deal with your life. And then you can use your past against the enemy. That is your testimony, my friends. Where are you in this place this morning? Where are you with your past this morning? That's a question you can ask yourself this morning. A lot of us walk around with those past hanging over our heads. Let God deal with that past this morning. Give it to God this morning. Your past must never imprison you. You should never be imprisoned by your past. Forget it. Forget it and move on. Jesus said he came so that you may have what? Life and life abundantly. The Bible says, devil come to kill, steal, and to destroy. I come so that you may have life and life abundantly. Choose life, God says. Choose that life. Choose Christ. If you have not received Christ this morning, if you're a person that's been sitting on, let me tell you, there's no sitting on a fence in the kingdom of God. You either out there or in there, there's no gray area. If you have never done that, then choose life this morning. Choose Christ this morning. Your past should never be used against yourself, but against the devil. Your past must be a weapon against the devil. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, that they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. My friends, question, where are you with your past? Very important question. God is here to transform that life. Get you going again. Revive you, redeem you, refresh you. Forget your past. Walk in your future. Your future is an hour from now, 5 minutes after this. That's your future. Live in that place. Don't go back to the past. God never wanted you to go back to the past. That's why Jesus said, do not look back. Pick up the plow and plow and don't turn around and look back. Hallelujah. I want to pray. Close your eyes and bow your heads. I want to make an invitation to those who have never received Christ in their life before. If you have never received Christ Jesus, if you've never met Jesus Christ like Paul did, if you've never had a Damascus experience like Paul did, and like what all of us did, I want you to put your hands up and we will pray with you. I want to lead you to Jesus this morning. First things first. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is gone for. Your word has been released into the lives of your people this morning. I thank you that, Lord, Holy Spirit, you work on that word in their lives. Thank you, God, that we are a people that will never, never walk in our past. There will be people that are walking in our future. The plans that you have for us, the thoughts that you've thought about us, the things that you prepared for us. Father, I pray, help us to walk in that place, to always be in the path of the future. Never going back to our past because you've forgotten our past. We honor you and we thank you. We are so glad and blessed that we are saved, that we've been transformed. Hallelujah. No more shady past. No more shady characters. But the transformed, redeemed people of God. Hallelujah. I pray that this word will sit inside the hearts of your people. And I pray that, Lord, you will continue to work in their hearts and their lives. And you can guide them and, Lord, order their steps in their lives as they make decisions based on your principles and on your word. God, we thank you that you will never lead us nor forsake us. Your promise is always yea and yea in our lives. And you'll always be with them, with us. Even to the end, you said, Jesus. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Everybody said, amen. Let's just sing a song before we... If you want some prayer...